The reading for today is Isaiah chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It's a very great privilege to be with you this morning. Thank you for your welcome, and it's good to come and join with you in worship. We're going to look together at that passage we just read from Isaiah 35. I want to speak this morning about the most wonderful highway in the world, the most wonderful road in the whole world. I'm not thinking of the M1 or the M4, and certainly not the M25, not even one of the many Roman roads which go throughout this country. I'm speaking rather about the highway to heaven. The great central truth of the Christian faith is that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up a way which leads from this world of despair and hopelessness to the glory and splendor of heaven. Amen. A famous preacher named Isaiah predicted this in that passage we've just read from the book he wrote. He lived about 750 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, but he looked forward to the day when Jesus would come. In chapter 35, verse 4, he says, "Be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." At this time, the people of Judah were in great trouble, in a bad way, fast heading for disaster. Isaiah had warned them many times that enemies would devastate their country and they'd be taken away into captivity. Inevitably, many of God's people were troubled and scared and worried. So Isaiah tells them, he passes on this message of hope. And the message of hope is that one day, the Lord will come, strengthen the feeble, trembling hands, steady the knees that give way. To those with fearful hearts, say, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come to save you. It's a wonderful prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah gives us a list of things that would happen when the Lord came. Verse 5, then will the eyes of the blind be opened. and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And that happened when Jesus came. It happened physically. Blind and deaf and dumb and lame people were literally healed. But even more wonderfully, it happened spiritually. Spiritually deaf and dumb, blind people came to see the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who are Christians have had our ears opened to hear the truth of the gospel. We've had our eyes opened to see the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who were once spiritually crippled now find ourselves in our hearts, if not physically, leaping for joy when we sing about our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But Isaiah also said, verse 8, that Christ would open up a highway. He likens this world to a desert, a wilderness, a place of despair and hopelessness, and so it is. The land of Judah was a desolate place when it was devastated by the Babylonians. So is this world, a spiritual sense, like a wilderness, a barren, terrible place. But Isaiah says that Christ would open up a road from this world of despair and hopelessness to the glory of heaven. And this wonderful prediction has come true. The Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he's opened up a way for poor sinners like you and me to go to heaven. And that's wonderful news. We're, by nature, all of us are lost in a kind of wilderness, spiritually speaking. A wilderness is a barren place, a dangerous place, a hopeless place. And that is the position of anyone who's not a Christian, in a barren, hopeless situation. But the Lord has opened up a way from that situation to the glory and splendor of heaven. Let me tell you more about this road to heaven. Sure, we all long to get on this road to heaven. We all long to finish up in heaven when we die. Let me tell you more about this road to heaven. First of all, it's a unique highway. It's the only road to heaven. Isaiah says, a highway there will be. Just one. Just one. And the way to heaven is unique. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we clear about that? You see, the idea around at the present time is that there are many ways to heaven. They tell us that take the road of your own choice, you'll get there to heaven. If you're a good Buddhist, well, you'll finish up in heaven. If you prefer to be a Hindu, you'll get to heaven. If you live a good life, you'll get to heaven. Indeed, there are those who say that everyone will get to heaven. Even if you're a blatant atheist, you'll finish up in heaven. That's the idea today, being peddled, sadly, by many in the Christian church. But the teaching of the Bible is that there is a highway to heaven, just one, just one. It's a terrible delusion to think that there are many ways to heaven. There is just one way. Mark and I yesterday were in Chippenham for an induction service for a new pastor there. Well, I know the way to Chippenham, I've been there many times, but suppose I came from Scotland, I had to go to Chippenham, didn't know the way. So I ring up the AA this morning, or yesterday morning, and say, please tell me the way to Chippenham. And the guy says, go any way you like. The M5, the M4, the M6, the M1, the M50-something, the M25, they'll all get you to Chippenham. I say to him, my friend, you're drunk or something. You're mad. But it's equally mad to say that there are many ways to heaven. Choose which one you like, and you'll get there. Jesus is very clear there is one way to heaven. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. So if you think there are many ways to heaven, you're arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The second thing I'd like to notice about this highway that leads to heaven is that it's very costly. Very costly. Making these new roads is a very expensive business, isn't it? It costs the taxpayer millions of pounds to provide these motorways. But they are cheap compared with the cost of opening up this way to heaven. It is this way by which people like me can arrive in heaven. And it won't cost us a penny, but it cost the Lord Jesus Christ a great deal to open up this way to heaven. Remember what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to open up this way to heaven? He had to leave heaven. He lived in heaven from all eternity with God the Father, enjoying the most wonderful fellowship with God the Father in the glory of heaven. He left the throne of heaven and came to this world in all its sin. He came as a baby. He was laid in a stable manger. He lived a life of comparative poverty in this world. It cost him a great deal to open up this way. It meant leaving heaven behind and coming into the sinful world. But more than that, to open up this way to heaven, it meant him dying upon the cross to bear the punishment of our sin. You see, before any of us can get to heaven, our sin has to be dealt with. We can't go into heaven with our sin. No way. We can't approach God with our sin. That has to be dealt with. And the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came into this world, and he lived a sinless life. He did amazing miracles. But then he went to the cross of Calvary. There he was put to death by wicked, evil men, crucified upon the cross of Calvary. And when he died there upon the cross, the sin of guilty sinners like us was laid upon him. And he bore the punishment there on the cross. The cost of opening up this way to heaven was enormous. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're not on the way to heaven. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he bore the punishment of sin in our place. The cost of opening up this way to heaven. So this highway to heaven is unique. There's only one way. It is costly. It meant the Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven, dying upon the cross to open up this way. And then can I stress, it's an exclusive highway. By that I mean, only certain people are on this way to heaven. Only certain people. Who are they? These people who are on the road to heaven. Are they people of a high social class? Down through history, there have been certain roads which have been open just as people of a high social class. The famous promenade in the town of Cheltenham, where we lived for a number of years. Originally, the promenade in Cheltenham was exclusive. You could only go down there if you were of a certain class. If you were dressed in fine clothes and looked good, you could walk along Cheltenham Promenade. But if you were a workman in an overall,
and dirty shoes, you couldn't walk down Cheltenham Promenade. It was an exclusive road for those who were posh and those who were a very high social class. Well, that's not true of heaven. It's open to very poor people. It's open to very rich people. It's open to kings and queens. It's open to people who are very, very poor and very low. But it's still exclusive. Only the redeemed, says verse 9, only the redeemed can walk along this road. The word redeemed is a word used in the Bible to describe all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to get on this road to heaven, you must be redeemed. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must ask him to take away your sin. You must say to him, I'm trusting, Lord Jesus, in your precious blood to take away all my sin. Then you'll be one of the redeemed. All others are excluded. It says verse 8, the unclean will not journey on it. Men and women whose sins are unforgiven. Men and women who are still living rebellious lives. Men and women who have no time for God will not be allowed to set foot on this road to heaven. You see, heaven is a place of holiness. Heaven is the place where God dwells. It's the place where there is no sin. And unless our sin is cleansed away by the blood of Christ, there is no hope of being on this road to heaven. It's called the highway of holiness. Only those who have been made holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can journey along this road. So if you're a Christian this morning, if you've seen yourself as a poor sinner, if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and cleanse you, if you're trusting in his precious blood and his death upon the cross of Calvary, then, my dear friend, you're on this road. Only the redeemed will be here. But if you are redeemed, you're on this road to heaven. But, my friend, if you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not seeing that he's your one and only Savior, and plead with him to save you, you're not on this road. It's an exclusive road, only for those who are redeemed. So those then are the three important things about this road to heaven which Christ has opened. It's unique. There is no other way. It's costly. It cost him his precious blood to open up this way. It's exclusive, only for those who are redeemed. Can I ask you, are you traveling along this road? How do I get on this road to heaven if I'm not already on this road? The answer is very simple. But although it is so simple, scores of men and women haven't found it. It's so simple to get on this road to heaven, but so many haven't found it. 23 years ago, I came to Reading to meet with the elders of Carey Baptist Church to talk about becoming pastor there. After the meeting was over, it was held in the Carey Centre, after the meeting was over, they directed me to the M4 so that I could drive back to North Wales. And they said to me, it's so simple. Go out of the gate here, turn left, then take the second turning on the left, then at the end turn right, and then go straight on, and eventually you'll come to the M4. So simple, they said. But what they didn't realize at that time, that I was simple as well, and I got hopelessly lost. It was a dark, miserable night, and there'd also been a main accident on the main A4, so that was closed, and there was that diversion, and I got hopelessly lost. And it's like that, the way to heaven. It's so simple. So simple. But the devil sets up all manner of diversions to put people off track. So let me explain the way to heaven. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You must see him as your only Savior. You must realize that you're totally dependent upon him. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a poor, lost sinner. You admit to him that that's what you are, a poor, guilty sinner. You admit that you've turned from God's ways. You admit that you cannot make it to heaven yourself. And you admit that you're totally dependent upon him and you're trusting in his precious blood. That's simple, isn't it? But the devil tries to divert you from that by suggesting other ways by which you may reach heaven. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is opened, and you may go in. Do you know the rest? At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me tell you three more things about this highway to heaven. I've already told you it's unique and costly and exclusive, but now let me tell you that this is a very safe highway. A very safe highway. Isaiah tells us no lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get on it. In those days, in the Old Testament times, if people went on a long journey on a road, they could meet all manner of dangers, all manner of wild beasts. And it's still like that in some countries. A few years back, Margaret and I were driving along a road in South Africa, to the west of South Africa, almost into Mozambique. And suddenly, we turned a bend, and a bull elephant was making towards us. And a bull elephant can wreck a car and overturn a car in seconds. So I reversed as fast as I've ever reversed a car in my life. And then we made a diversion and we came across a pride of lions, you see. Some roads in this country still are very dangerous. But this highway to heaven is safe. When you're on this highway to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ will watch over you and care for you and take care of you day by day. Then can I tell you, it's a satisfying road. As you make your way along this road to heaven, through the barren desert of this world, you'll find many things to satisfy your soul. Using picturesque language, this passage says, verse 6, that as you walk along this road to heaven, you will find streams in the desert, refreshing streams of water. You'll find the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of knowing that you're right with God for time and eternity. You'll find a purpose in life instead of just living for yourself and for your own interests. You'll find that living for God is so satisfying and so wonderful and so glorious. You'll find the joy of knowing all your sins forgiven, the joy of living for the glory of God, the joy of knowing that God is your Father, the joy of having a sense of God's presence with you day by day. It's a wonderful road, this road to heaven. It's a safe road. The Lord will watch over you day by day. You still have to face dangerous times, but the Lord will watch over you day by day and will care for you. Many of us have found that. So this road to heaven is safe and satisfying, and both of those things should encourage us to get on this road as soon as possible. But most wonderful of all is a road which leads to a glorious destination. Did you notice? Verse 10, it leads to Zion. It leads to heaven. Every so often, Mug and I make the journey to Norwich, the city where we were born. And we still have relatives there. And as you enter the city of Norwich across the road Norfolk, there's a big sign which says, "Welcome to Norwich, a fine city." And so it is, a fine city. But this road is leading to a fine city, is leading to a place called Zion, is leading to heaven, is leading to a glorious realm, and a beautiful place. A place where there's no war, where there's no brutality, where there's no sin, where there's no greed, where there's no selfishness. None of the things which mar this world. A realm where there's absolute perfection. It's leading to Zion. We're marching to Zion, says another hymn. Beautiful city of God. We're marching to Zion. That's the road on which we are. It'll be a city full of joy and gladness. Isaiah says, they, the redeemed, will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Everlasting joy will be on their heads. Can you imagine that? A place where there'll be everlasting joy. Nothing to mar it. No sin, no sadness, no sickness, nothing to mar it in any way whatsoever. A land of perfect joy. It'll be a city which is full of the glory of God. The last book of the Bible tells us it'll be so full of the glory of God that there'll be no need for the sun to shine by day, nor the moon by night. So full of the glory of God, it'll be like everlasting sunshine. What an amazing thing that will be, to see the glory of God. Sometimes in this life, we get just a glimpse of the glory of God. Sometimes you've been in a meeting, haven't you, when it's been so wonderful, and you've just got a glimpse of the glory of God. But heaven will be a place where we see the full glory of God, day in, day out, forever and forever. That's the destination to which we are going. A highway to heaven has been opened up by the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask again, are we on it? If we are, if the answer is yes, then rejoice, my dear friend. Praise God. There's no greater privilege and honor than to be on this road to heaven. We are traveling home to God in the way the fathers trod. They are happy now, and we soon their happiness shall see. Lift your eyes, you sons of light. Zion City is in sight. There our endless home shall be. There our Lord we soon shall see. But if you're not on this way to heaven, my friend, may I urge you, make no delay. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ this very day and ask him to put you on this road that leads to glory. Let me tell you something very special about this passage of the Bible. One Sunday night, about 42 years ago, the 5th of April, 1981, I preached on this passage at a church in Cheltenham. That night, one of our sons, Tim, became a Christian. He sometimes puts it on Facebook. Not so long back, he put it on Facebook and said, so many years ago, my dad preached on Isaiah 35, and I was saved. Well, I can see Tim now. He'd gone to bed, but he came down to the stairs and said, Dad, I was saved tonight through hearing about this road to heaven. It'd be wonderful, absolutely wonderful, if someone somewhere was saved today because they heard that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up the road to heaven.